Good evening, Central Baptist Church, friends and family. Today is Wednesday, May the 20th. We want to welcome you to our Wednesday evening Bible study. If you've got your Bible, we're going to actually be looking at the passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. If you don't have that, maybe you can either hit pause or run and get your Bible so that you'll have that with you. But we're looking this evening at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24. If you look at the top, it's probably called The Road to Emmaus. This is an event that took place after the resurrection of Christ. And what we do is through these passages, we're kind of privileged to look in on a couple of disciples who have been a part of everything that had been taking place in Jerusalem, and they've left. This is after the crucifixion, and they're talking about it. But we're going to go ahead and pick the scripture up there. We're going to see some pretty significant things that happen and take place. But before we do that, I want to ask you. I want you to think about something in your life that was significant, something that that took place that was a really, really big thing. Most of us can sit back and recall a certain circumstance or a certain instance where there was something that was so big in your life or so big in the world that you know exactly where you were the day that it took place. I know that some of the things that I've heard people say over the years is, well, I knew exactly where I was and what I was doing when President Kennedy was assassinated, or I know exactly where I was and what was going on when 9/11 took place. And those are some things that we can remember because they were so impactful in our lives. So think about something like that as we apply these scriptures to us today. Once again, we're looking at Luke's Gospel, chapter 24, and we're going to begin reading at verse 13. Luke 24, beginning with verse 13. It says, "Now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went to them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then one of those, the one whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all people, and how the chief priest of our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened.'" Verse 22, "Yes, a certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to say to them, Now it came to pass that as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us?' So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And they told about all the things that had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you right now, and we just ask that you would truly help us as we endeavor a look at your word tonight. Lord, I pray that our faith might be built, that our faith might be strengthened in you. Lord, we just ask that as we truly meditate on you and your word this day, that we will believe the promises that your word gives us. So bless our time this evening in your word is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, a minute ago, I was asking you about what was something that was really, really big in your life. And you can remember all of the details because it was such a significant event that had taken place. Now, you have to think about these two disciples that were on their road. They had left Jerusalem. They had witnessed the crucifixion. And they thought it was over. They were just kind of on their way out of town, and they were talking about it, just like that big situation in your life. I'm sure that you talked about it with many people, maybe even for many days. It was a circumstance that just kind of overwhelmed every ounce of who you were. So they were discussing this situation while they were on the road to Emmaus. And then all of a sudden, Jesus comes up and begins to talk with them. Now, you have to understand that according to the scriptures, at this point, they didn't know that it was Jesus. Verse 17 says that he said to them, this is Jesus said to them, what kind of conversation is this, verse 17, that you have with one another as you walk and are sad? In other words, Jesus saw what their countenance was. He saw that this was not a joyous event or not a joyous type of a conversation. So Jesus is kind of interjecting himself into the conversation. And it was really interesting what answer he got from Cleopas in verse 18. It says that then one of those whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened there in these days? That would almost be like saying today, look, do you pick up a newspaper? Do you watch the news? Has your head been in the sand? How could anybody know or not know what was taking place in Jerusalem? You know, where have you been? You're coming from the same place we are. You know, have you been lost or what have you? And then as Cleopas said that, verse 19 says that Jesus said, what things are you talking about? Tell me what these things are that you're discussing, the things that are making you sad. Why is it that you're walking why are you walking with this sad countenance, and what's taking place and what's going on? So they begin to tell Jesus what the circumstance was. They talked about how he was essentially handed over to the governing authorities by the chief priest. And verse 20 says, and how the chief priest and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and to be crucified. And then the indicator of where they were in this whole situation, the disciples, that is, you got to remember that they had a lot of heart in Jesus. They believed in him. They had seen the things he had done. According to these scriptures, they said they saw the great things that he did. He was a great man, not only in word, but also in deed. They had seen all these things. But now, after the circumstances of the crucifixion, everything's changed. We know this scripture also tells us that this is on the third day. They're not looking for the resurrection. They're not looking for Jesus to be alive. They're not looking for his ministry to continue for. They're not looking for salvation. They're not looking for Israel to be redeemed, because look at verse 21. It says this. It says, but we were, that's past tense. That means they're not anymore. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things have happened. Yeah, their hope was pretty much gone. They had packed up. They had left Jerusalem. They were on their way out. They were sad. This was not a joyous occasion for them. They thought, well, it was a good ride while it lasted. We were thinking and hoping that Jesus was going to be the one. But you see, they went on and they continued to tell the story of what was taking place. In verse 22, it says that there was a certain women of the company went down to the tomb very early, and it says they were astonished. They were astonished because it says that they didn't find the body, and they had also testified to the fact that they had seen the angel who said he was alive. Now, knowing this, did that change how they felt about the situation? Not at that point. How do we know? Because they're on the road to Emmaus. They're talking about Jesus in past tense. They are talking about him being the Redeemer of Israel in the past tense. So even though they heard the testimony of the women, it was still hard for them to believe. Their thought had not gone back to what Jesus had been trying to teach them while he was with them, as well as what you and I know within his word. Verse 23 says, when they didn't find his body, they came saying that they also had seen a vision of an angel who said he was alive. Verse 24, and certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. When we look at these particular passages, and it's true in most of our lives as well, we want to see something. Seeing is believing. The problem with that is when we look at our situation concerning Jesus Christ and concerning salvation, the Lord says that we are saved by grace through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, what does that mean? We're saved by grace through what? Faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Essentially, that means being able to believe in something even though you cannot see it. Now, what was their testimony on the road to Emmaus in verse 24 of Luke chapter 24? What did they say? It says that in certain of those that were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. They still wanted to see Jesus to be able to believe him. In our world today, there are still folks who'll say, well, I'll tell you what, if I could see Jesus, I would believe him. If I could see him do some incredible things, if I could see him make the table rise, or they put God to the test when it comes to our Savior Jesus Christ. But you know what's missing? If those were things to take place, let me just interject right here. Jesus is not a trick pony. He's not a magic lamp. But see, to do all those things would be to take the faith factor out of it. Yeah, obviously you'll believe if you see. How about believing? And the word also often tells us how blessed are those who believe even though they haven't had a chance to see. And that is me and you. That is us in this particular age of grace and in this particular day and time. But it said they didn't see him. So then verse 25, we begin to see what Jesus' answer to them was. It says, then he said to them, and he being Jesus, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So Jesus kind of gives them a little bit of a correction along the way as well. But then something else took place as he continued to journey down the road of Emmaus with them. Verse 27 tells us that he began at Moses and the prophets to expound to them all of the scriptures and all of the things concerning himself. He was going back and he was talking to them about all of the Old Testament prophecy. He was pointing to how the crucifixion and the resurrection would be the fulfillment of all of those things. I'm sure that he probably got over into the book of Isaiah chapter 53, where most of us know at least one particular verse out of there that says that he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and it is by his stripes we are healed. He began to essentially take all of the prophecies that they knew about from the Old Testament and make them applicable to today. He was showing how this event that had just taken place in Jerusalem would be the fulfillment of those things and how Jesus truly was the Christ. Now, remember at this point, they still don't recognize who he is. So he begins to tell them all these things and they're enamored by these things. They're listening. They're listening intently. And so what happens is down there, verse 28, it says, as they drew near the village where they were going, Jesus made an indication that this wasn't his stop. He was going to be moving on further. But they were not only enjoying, but so enthralled in the conversation that Jesus was having with them. And I can almost imagine that they were sitting there going, yeah, that's right. I could see how this would fulfill that. Yeah, I could see how this would be the right thing. So now they're pretty excited about what's taking place and what's going on. In verse 29, Jesus is 28. Jesus said he's going to go ahead. He's going to go on further. But in verse 29, it says they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in and he stayed with them. And I'm sure that they continued their conversation over the biblical passages of the days of old, and how the crucifixion and the resurrection would be the fulfillment of those prophecies from the Old Testament. And it says in verse 30 that it came to pass that as they sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he gave it to them. And then verse 31 tells us that then their eyes were open and they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. Yeah, I can just imagine what that scene must have been like when all of a sudden they realized the one that they had been having the conversation about was right there in their presence. The one that they had been talking about in the past tense. We thought he would be the Redeemer of Israel. We thought he would be the Savior of the world. Now they know that he truly is. Now they know that he is the one who has resurrected from the dead. Now they know that all the scriptures that they had heard from the past are true, and all the things that would be foretold that Jesus would accomplish had been accomplished. And it says their eyes were open, verse 31, and as that happened, he vanished from their sight, and they said to one another, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us?" Yeah, it's kind of like that situation of saying, you know what, we should have known that. Yeah, all the time he's telling us, and we, you know, now that we're looking back on it, we're thought, you know what, that makes all the sense in the world. Why didn't we think of that before? Why is it that we were sad? Why was our heart downtrodden? Why is it that we didn't believe that he was going to resurrect on the third day as he said he would? Why is it that even when the proof positive came and Mary had gone down to the tomb and Mary came back and said, "He is not here, he's risen," why couldn't we believe then? You know, why is it that even when we went down there and saw for ourselves, we saw that there was no body, but we didn't see Jesus, and yet we still doubted? Folks, that's one of the things that you and I deal with today. Now, how can I say that, and how do I know that? Well, let me give you this particular point and instance. How many times does the Word tell us, in the middle of our circumstances and in the middle of our situations, that the Word tells us things like Jesus told us, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." And yet often in the middle of circumstances, we look around and we feel like we're all alone. Often we'll cry out and we'll say, "Where's God in the middle of all this?" When we need to look right there like the disciples on the road to Emmaus, Jesus is right there in the midst of your problem. And oftentimes we don't see him. Sometimes it's because we're not looking for him. Sometimes it's because he's blinded our eyes, such as in this case. Yeah, he wants us to believe what his word tells us. He's given us many, many promises in his word. He has promised us victory through Christ. We need to be living as victorious Christians. We don't need to be living in fear. We don't need to be living in defeat. We don't need to be allowing the circumstances of our lives to dictate how we feel. You know, I've often used that term with our church when we've talked about this thing called circumstantial faith. And that circumstantial faith is when our spirituality and how we feel ebbs and flows based on how good our life is going. Oh, when things are going great in life, we can sit back and raise our hand and say hallelujah and praise God. But when things turn sour and they don't look good for us, instead of clinging to a holy God, we get mad at him and we say, "Well, where are you in the middle of all this?" Yeah, I ask you the same question today. If you're going through circumstances and if you are going through situations, I'm asking you to look right in front of your face in the middle of your situations, because I can promise you that Jesus is there. He is right there somewhere. Yeah, like these disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? He was right there. They were sitting there going, "We should have known that. The word told us that. We should have known that. We saw these things." And the same holds true to you and I today. Sometimes we need to be reminded by the preacher. Sometimes we need to be reminded by brothers and sisters in Christ when we reach out to them and they say, well, hang on a minute. The Lord hadn't left you. He's not forsaken you. He's still powerful. He's still on the throne. But the question is, are we going to believe that? Do we really in our hearts believe that? They did. At this particular point, what it says they did was this. In verse 33, that after they kind of had that I call it V8 moment where they're like, we should have known that. Yeah. Didn't our hearts burn when we saw that? It says, here's what they did. It says, so they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They're going to get back in the battle. They're going to get back in about with what Jesus wants them to be doing. Their hearts are now tuned in to the fact that he truly is risen. He is risen indeed. It says, so they rose up, verse 33, that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. You see, those 11 weren't sitting there having a party either. The 11 that were sitting there were also doing the same thing. They were sitting there saying, well, what are we going to do next? Where are we going to go now? They were still looking at Jesus as a past tense type thing as well, even though they had gone and seen the empty tomb. Well, what are we going to do now? It says that when the disciples got there to the other disciples, verse 34, it says, when they found him gathered, verse 34 says, they said this, the Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Yeah, at this particular point, they're realizing that Jesus has done exactly what he said he would do. He was victorious just exactly as he said that he would. And his promises that he gave them back at Calvary's cross still hold and still maintain true to you and I today. Folks, on your walk to Emmaus, Jesus is right there with you. Through the middle of your circumstances, Jesus is right there with you. As you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, Jesus is with you. As you climb to the pinnacle of success, Jesus is with you. So I challenge you this evening to ask and answer this question within your heart. Is your heart cold? Is your heart lukewarm? Or is it burning hot with the word of God? Are the words of the Lord burning within you just like these two on the road to Emmaus? Are you slow to believe or are you quick to believe the promises of our Father? My prayer is that you are quick to believe what it is that Jesus has to say to you. So let me have a word of prayer with you. I'm going to tell you what we're going to look at next week and give you a little bit of an update for this coming Sunday. But let's look to the word in the Lord of Prayer. Father, you're good to us and you are always with us as your children. Your promises are true and we can count on them. Help us, Lord, in those times of doubt and fear, not to become cold or not to become lukewarm. But Father, that we would burn within from your word, from the scripture. Help us, Lord, that no matter what the circumstances or situations, to realize that you are right there. All we have to do is look around. All we have to do is reach out and you will carry us through each and every circumstance. Lord, may we not discuss you ever as past tense, but Lord, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we can count on you till we have that opportunity to see you in glory. Bless each and every family, each and every person that has taken the time to come around your word tonight in Bible study. As though we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, folks, let me tell you what our Bible study notes for next week are going to be. Your readings for this particular week, I actually read John chapter 3. And that's the Gospel of John chapter 3 through the Gospel of John chapter 7. John chapter 3 through John chapter 7. And what we do is we just ask you to read one chapter a day, and that even gives you 2 days of fluff. We're actually doing what is called D-Life. This is what we're doing in several of our small groups through the church. But next week, the focal passage is actually going to be from John chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, and that is Nicodemus comes to Jesus. On our church's Facebook site, I will actually put these notes up for you before this evening is over with. And I do thank you for joining us. I do want to let you know that we had a great time this past Sunday. It was the first time in 10 weeks that we've had an opportunity to have worship together. We met outside in our parking lot. We're thankful for those that came. We had a really good crowd that felt comfortable enough to come. We were able to social distance a lot greater than 6 feet. So if you had that opportunity to be with us, thank you so much. If you didn't and you still don't feel comfortable, we still love you and that's okay. We want you to be okay. Real, I don't want you to feel bad because you're sitting there going, church is going on and I can't because I'm a high risk, but that's okay. We love you. We're looking forward to the day when you feel more comfortable that it's okay to come back in that in the group setting. But until then, no, we love you. We're praying for you. We just ask that you continue to support us in prayer, continue to tune in by way of video for our services. And I also want to just remind folks that this coming Sunday, we are once again going to have an outdoor service. If for some reason the weather is inclement, we will do a video service just like what you're watching right now and just like what we've been doing for the past 10 weeks. Even if we do have the outside service, we are still going to be posting our videos for those of you who don't feel comfortable getting back out yet. Just want you to know that we love you, we thank you, we pray for you, and we're asking that God will bless you in an incredible way. Until Sunday, take care. We love you. God bless you. Bye-bye.